huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge. In this disruptive episode, I grill and interrogate one of the best and most disruptive UFC fighters in the world today, Paddy Pimblett. Paddy reveals his dream fight, whether he would fight Jake or Logan Paul, if he'd take a fight just for the money, who he's got beef with right now. And he also opened up about a lot of fat shaming he gets and men's mental health, depression and suicide. There's some shocking moments, there are some weird moments, and there is one towards the end of the most moving moments I think you've ever seen from Paddy Pimblett. Paddy, Jake Paul or Logan Paul, who would you prefer to fight?
Either, but really.
You're not bothered?
Not asked, not one bit.
Would you fight them both?
Yeah, of course.
Would you fight one then the other?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't worry about it like not being that credible. You're a proper fighter, they're not.
If the money's right, lad.
Yeah.
I'll beat the pair of them up one after another.
And how much is the money? What? How much would it take?
I don't know, you'd have to speak to my manager to do all that. that's not my forte.
You never get involved in that?
No, that's not.
You just do what you're told?
Yeah, that's not my job, lad.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one do you think is best out of them two?
I fight him.
Yeah.
Obviously Jake.
Right.
Yeah, Jake's definitely a better fighter. Like Logan's more like a wrestler and he's more like WWE.
Yeah. And would you fight Jake? Just boxing, not MMA.
Yeah, the money was right, of course.
Yeah.
Goes without saying, lad.
Yeah.
That's why all these old MMA fighters are going in and doing it, because the money's right.
Yeah. And what do you think about how that influencer boxing has changed the sport? Do you think it's changed the sport?
Yeah, it has slightly. It's a bit stupid, like, isn't it? But it's just one of them. If that's what people are paying to see, then that's what people are paying to see. But there's professional boxers who are, like, unbeaten. Over English and British champions in the UK, and they don't get no recognition, and they find it hard to get fights and stuff like that. But these influencers are getting fights and getting paid big money on big shows, big stages. It's a bit mad.
Do you think that's wrong?
Yeah, I mean, the actual boxers who've done a full amateur career and now go pro and have put the whole life into it, they should be getting more of the spotlight and the limelight than these influencer boxers. But as I say, it's what people tune in to watch that. And people are tuning in to watching that. I can remember one was on a couple of months ago and there was a tag team boxing match. I was like, what is going on here? Is this, like, are these messing? I was just sitting there like that, oh my God, this can't
tag team boxing?
Yeah.
What, are they all in at the same time? Or one in, out,
one
in,
was
out?
Like getting dropped and then he'd tag his mate in. That was the maddest one you've ever seen, lad. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm very proud to say this episode is sponsored by AG1. As you know, we're more than 1,000 episodes into Disruptors and I very rarely have sponsors. I'm really choosy on sponsors and I only pick people that I love myself and I use myself. I have turned down loads of sponsors, but personally, I've been using AG1 for nearly 14 years myself before we ever did a sponsorship deal with them. For me, AG1 really helps with my mental focus, clarity, and overall well-being. As someone who's really freaking busy and can't always sit down and eat a million vegetables in a day, knocking back a big pint full of AG1 in the morning is perfect for me. Of course, health is wealth, and I'm in my mid-40s, I'm realizing that more and more. So if you'd like to try AG1 yourself with a special exclusive offer that I have for you right now, go to drinkag1.com/disruptors. That's drinkag1.com/disruptors and get a free year supply of vitamin D3, K2 and 5 travel packs with your first purchase on me. So one more time, that's drinkag1.com/disruptors. AG1, thanks for sponsoring the show. You are legends. Have you seen those MMA ones where there's like 6 against 6 and they all just go in?
That's like in Russia or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Would you do that?
No.
No?
No, because you can just Get it stolen on you. Get it in the back of the head.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that being said about legitimate boxing versus influencer boxing, do you think entertainment is important in your sport?
Yeah, of course. Entertainment's important in any sport. Goes without saying. You know what I mean? It's boring. You're not really going to want to watch it, are you?
Yeah. And do you think about that when you fight? Like, you want to entertain the crowd? Or are you more thinking about, I need to win this fight and not act like a dick? Because it must be a fine line.
You could say that, yeah, it is a fine line, but obviously winning the fight comes first. Like, you want to entertain everyone, yeah, goes without saying, but winning the fight comes first. Use my last fight as an example, to be honest. The first round, I struck with him. I wanted to knock him out. I caught him with some big punches, thought I was going to finish him. Second round, come out. He threw a kick and ended up on his back. Took advantage of it and got on top of him and realised how easy it was to just sit on top of him and land around the pound. So in the third round when I come out, I've done the same as the second.
Right.
Even though I know the first round was more entertaining, I knew it was an easier route to victory to take him down again and just dominate him on top.
Yeah. And so if you could be world champion, Hall of Fame, best fighter ever, would you just roll around with people and hug them for five rounds? Or would you have to do some kind of entertaining stand-up?
Well, people still say GSP is one of the best of all time, and most of his wins are decisions, taking people down, dominating them. So, you know, you could say that. And Khabib as well. People say Khabib is one of the best of all time, and he didn't really get that many finishes.
Mm. So it's about being a professional, yeah, doing the job.
So more about winning all your fights, really.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, even fighters who don't win all their fights, they still get a fight if they're entertaining, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Like, yeah. Of course, there's a lot of fighters with mixed records, but that's the good thing about MMA compared to boxing. It doesn't matter if you get a loss. Like, yeah. When it comes to boxing, people are like, oh, he's being beat, though. It's like, so?
Yeah.
He's only lost once or twice. Like, in MMA, you can lose 10 times and can still become a world champion after.
Yeah. So how's life changed? Like, you're a superstar now. And by the way, thank you for doing this. How life must be very different now.
Yeah, I could say that. It's been like this for a few years now, though, so I'm used to it, to be honest.
I mean, you seem pretty grounded. Don't seem like it's all gone to your head.
I feel like when you're from this city, you've got to be like that. You know what I mean? If you get reminded. You get reminded within 5 minutes that if you try to act like anything different, like you're away from here, you know what I mean? You get the back ripped out of you by your fellow scousers, so just got to be yourself.
Yeah. Is there anything about being as successful as you are that's bad that comes with it? And, you know, any downsides of it?
Obviously, there's always little downsides of things. Like I love it when people come over and ask for pictures and stuff when they're polite. You know what I mean? Come over and have manners and ask me if you want a picture and say please, I'll say yeah, get a picture. I hate it when people just walk past me and like start videoing me. You know what I mean? Like someone's just walking past there and they start taking a picture of me or videoing me. It's like, start doing that to people now.
Have you ever been tempted to like punch someone?
No.
No.
Never been tempted to punch anyone, like, to be honest. I know I could never do that. You know what I mean? That's just something that you can't do.
But people, they can be a bit disrespectful, can't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most annoying ones when someone just like puts their arm around you and pulls your neck.
They do that to you?
Yeah, like just go like, oh, come here, lad. And pull you in for like a selfie. And it's like, lad, my neck, get off.
Yeah.
I've had to tell a few people to get off and they've done that before.
Yeah.
As I say, I really don't mind. Ask me for a picture all you want, you know what I mean? It's just don't video me when I'm not looking. Don't take pictures of me while I'm not looking. It's weird. Even more so now that my bird's pregnant and I'm going to have kids in a few months. So don't want no one taking pictures of me while I'm out with my kids.
Yeah. And have you thought about how that might change you, being a dad?
We'll see what happens, won't we?
What about if they want to be a UFC fighter, MMA, when, you know, they're... Because was your first... 15, were you, when you did your first fight?
16, my first fight, because I started training at 15, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
But these are twin girls, so...
Ah, well, they still could.
They still could.
Like, what if they both came up? And
more? I'll get them into jiu-jitsu, definitely, so they can defend themselves, but I doubt I'll have them fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't reckon the missus will want that. She'll have them in dance.
But what if they really wanted it?
I'd let them, obviously.
Yeah.
I want them to be able to defend themselves, so I'll have them doing jiu-jitsu anyway.
Yeah.
That goes without saying. I'll have them in the gym doing jiu-jitsu.
So I notice online, you know, when you're sort of in between fights and you don't mind putting on a pound, people fucking get on your back really badly.
Badly done.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
The cheeky bastards. Cheeky bastards. You know what I mean?
How does that make you feel?
I've just got to get on with it. It's just one of them. Like, I enjoy my food. I do.
Yeah.
I enjoy it a bit more than most. Like, I enjoy my food more than 99.8% of most people. I thoroughly enjoy my food, lad. And I don't let anything go to waste. So, like, if we went for a meal, four of us, and, like, I nailed mine, and the three of you didn't finish yours, I'd finish yours. Nothing goes to waste.
No.
I can't help myself. But that's just the way I am.
Yeah.
I get my weight goes up after a fight because I indulge. I can't help it.
Mm.
Like I say before, I won't go above this weight. I won't do that. And then, lad, I just can't stop eating when I start.
Yeah. And do those comments, like, get to you and hurt you?
I just can't let anything get to you anymore. It's got to a point now where people say something every day. So you just get on with it.
And how have you managed to harden yourself to that? Because a lot of people, they probably could be more and do more with their life, but they're just worried about all the haters. And everyone's a hater online now, it seems.
Yeah, everyone's a troll, everyone's a hater. But
yeah, how'd you harden yourself?
I went to an all-boys school, lad. You know what I mean? I went to an all-boys school, and we hardened ourselves up that way when we were younger. You know what I mean? We give each other hell.
Yeah.
Stuff happened and stuff got said what couldn't if there was girls there. So, lad, we just toughened each other up that way in our school. Some of the stuff we said to each other and did to each other, like, I was conditioned for it from a young age. So when I got into MMA and then started training, then, because obviously there's the fighting side of MMA and there's the other side. There's, like, as you said before, the entertainment side, the outside of the cage side. And I just took to that straight away. Like, when I was 16, I made a post on the Cage Warriors forum saying I am the best amateur bantamweight in the country. Does anyone dispute this? And it got major responses.
Did you really believe it?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah, and I was only like 3 or 4-0 at the time. Something stupid like that. I was like 4-0. I ended up going 9-0 amateur.
Yeah.
Beating like a list of people who be put in. And that like got the most hits ever on the amateur forum. So when I went pro, people were already talking about me.
Yeah.
So I just took to it naturally. You know what I mean? Like, that side of things, like, I don't know, people say to me, I've just got that.
For years, people have been asking me where I buy my watches. Many of you may know I'm a watch collector, I'm a watch investor, and those as an asset class have done me very well in the last 15 years. I have never shared where I source my watches from or my watch dealer until now. My watch dealer used to be a professional footballer for Manchester United, and he formed a watch brand called Broadwalk. And he sources the higher end brands like Rolex, Audemars Piguet, Patek Philippe and Richard Mille. I trust him, I've used him for many years, and recently we've done a partnership. Hence I'm inviting you, if you want to start investing in watches and protect your money from the banks and inflation, to check out Broadwalk. That's Broadwalk. And the website is broadwalkgroup.com. The email is sales@broadwalkgroup.com. And please don't share this, but his number is 07496 878153. Obviously, only message him if you're serious about buying and investing in the higher end watches. People have been asking me for years, and for the first time ever, you can get access to my watch team.
What is it? That like aura, it just attracts people. It's just one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah. Would you say you were born a fighter or did you make yourself a fighter?
Probably a bit of both, to be honest. I was born to do something, definitely. But then when I had my first fight and got my hand raised up and I got that feeling, I was like, yeah, I know I was born to do this.
Yeah.
This is what I was meant to do. Get me hand raised like this. And
so 16, you knew you,
yeah,
that was 16, it.
16, I knew that was it.
Professional fighter. Yeah. And how long had you been training? 1 year?
When I had my first fight, I'd been training like 15 months.
Wow.
and took that on like a week's notice.
Yeah. And you just knew?
Yeah, as soon as I got my hand raised, I just knew. Like, yeah, this is it. This is what I'm doing now. Me, like.
That must feel good, because there's a lot of people in the world. They're lost.
Yeah.
You're not lost.
No. As I say, as soon as I got my hand raised that first time, I always say to people, I can't really describe the feeling. It's like, the only thing I may be able to compare to it is when my wife gives birth. You know what I mean? That might be the only feeling when compared to getting your hand raised in the cage after you've just beat someone.
And if that's one of the best feelings in the world, getting your hand raised, can it hit you feeling low and shit in between those moments? You know, when you've got to get up at 5 a.m. and it's freezing cold, like you were seeing all that.
Of course. You've got to... got to take the bad with the good, but obviously the 8 weeks building into the fight is a form of torture. It is. Yeah. The 8 weeks what you put yourself through leading into a fight is a form of torture, but you get on with it. That's how good that feeling is, getting your hand raised.
Right.
You do it all for that little, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do that 8 weeks of torture for that one little feeling. And as I say, there's no feeling like it.
Yeah. And you said earlier about, you know, you like food and you can put on a bit of weight. So you obviously you're known for having to do quite big cuts. What's your biggest cut?
My biggest cut was years ago. I don't really do big cuts anymore. Like nowadays, I'll do like 10 pounds overnight. You know what I mean? Which is not much for an MMA fighter, to be honest. When I fought a featherweight, I'd done something stupid like 18 pounds overnight. When I was like 21, 22.
Did you like have anything in the tank when you fought? I
just felt terrible. Yeah. Fourth and fifth round, I just survived and then I vomited in the cage.
Oh.
I was sick in my post-fight interview.
Yeah, nice. And but does that not make you not want to blow up in between but you know, was just love food too much?
Yeah, I just love food too much, Ed. When I get going, I'm like Homer Simpson.
And do you think you could become the best in the world and still love food that much? Because surely food's the diet's a big part of.
Yeah, it is. We'll see in the next few years when I get to like 33 when I have to. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now I've still got a little bit of a child's metabolism at the same time.
Yeah.
So I can get away with it. You never know, in a few years I mightn't be able to.
Yeah.
Might have to go vegan and that.
Yeah, I think that's a no. Yeah. A lot of people are now getting back to meat off being vegan.
Yeah, I'd miss bacon too much.
Yeah.
I couldn't go vegan, mate.
Yeah.
Meat. It's not a main meal without meat.
No. Can we have a little bit of I mean, my show isn't really just about fighting.
It's
about a lot more than that. But can we have like a fighting round?
Yeah, sure.
I've prepared it earlier.
Yeah, good.
Right.
Get a look.
Would you take a fight purely for the money if it was a shit fight for you?
Depends how much money.
10 million.
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
Even if it's bad style, you're going down, not up?
More than likely, yeah.
Yeah.
For 10 mil.
Yeah. For 5?
No.
No.
Maybe even more than 10, actually. Depends if it's against as well. Because if it's someone I respect, then yeah, I wouldn't mind like going up and doing a different discipline and all that.
Yeah.
But if it's a helmet like Jake Paul, then nah, I want 50 mil.
50?
Something like that, yeah. But as I say, I'd leave that to my manager.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here talking numbers now, what comes to my head.
Yeah. But does he not consult with you?
Yeah, he would obviously, but I'd just leave that to him.
Yeah. All right, fine. So which fighter do you respect the most, either past or present?
Well, my favourite ever fighter is Big Nog Nogueira. But then there's a lot that I've spoke to. You know what I mean? Like GSP is one of the nicest fellas ever. Spoke to George St. Pierre a few times. You know what I mean? He's one of the nicest men I've ever met in my life. Never mind, just a fighter.
Mm. Like I used to love watching UFC in the early days. Do you remember Andre Arlovsky?
Yeah.
Did you rate him?
Yeah. He's still fighting now. Didn't he fight?
I mean, he's had about 9,000.
Didn't he fight last weekend? He did. Sure, Arlovsky fought last weekend. I'm certain of it.
Yeah. Yeah, he got films and everything, didn't he?
Yeah, he's. He's a legend, Arlovsky, like.
Yeah. Guy must be in his, 40s now?
Yeah, I think he is. As a heavyweight, though, it's not as bad. You can fight up to that age, really.
How come?
Because, like, the last thing you lose is your power.
Right.
And the worst thing they have is their speed anyway. I mean, that's the first thing you
so
lose.
Naturally
you lose
slow.
Your speed, yeah. They're naturally slower. So, heavyweights, if you notice, some of them stay fighting until they're like 48 and then, anyway.
That does not sound good for your brain.
No, it's probably not. Like, but they do it.
Yeah. Do you ever think about, like, when you should quit, bearing in mind, just look at, like, I know quite a lot of boxers, and by the time they're 50, they can't even talk.
Yeah.
Even, like, amateurs who've had 12 fights, they just can't talk. They just,
yeah,
do not worry about that.
You take a lot more head damage in boxing, though.
Right.
You take a lot more head damage.
Yeah.
Everything's focused on the head and the body. You know what I mean? We have a lot more targets, and it's not just striking, as if we can grapple as well.
And but do you think about, right, age 35, 40, whatever, get out?
Nah, I was saying this the other week when people were telling Tony Ferguson to retire. I was like, no one can tell you when to retire. It's up to the person.
Yeah.
It's up to you when you want to retire. So,
and maybe you don't even know until you wake
you
up
don't
one
know,
day.
Yeah, until you wake up one day and you're like, oh, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So, I'd never put a date on it. I'd never, I just wouldn't.
Yeah. Do you plan your life after fighting?
No, not just yet. Still got a good 2 years fighting in me.
Yeah. Not think about, because, you know, okay, a few fighters might get a commentary job or whatever, but, I mean, a lot of sportsmen who are almost near the top after their career is gone, they find it really hard.
Yeah, I'll find me waiting to something, don't worry about that. I've already said this, I'll end up in films or something.
Just like that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Where does this self-belief come from? Because I would not be that confident.
I really don't know, you know. I actually don't know myself. Don't know where it comes from. I'm just...
So you literally feel like, do whatever, I'll be fine, it's all good.
Yeah. When it comes to certain things, I know I'm good at it and I can do it. Other things, no.
Even films, you know you'd be good.
Yeah, I can ask me, like.
Right, yeah. Does anything scare you?
The sea. The ocean.
Yeah.
The ocean's very scary. I don't know what's down there.
Well, we're safe around here.
Mm.
Anything else?
Never
been scared in a fight?
No.
Never?
There's no point in being scared. It's just you and him.
Yeah, but I think fear isn't a logic thing, is it? Like, oh, don't be scared, mate.
Yeah, if there was a shark chasing you or a tiger chasing you or something, yeah. Not another human being, another man who was born just like you were.
Yeah.
But you haven't got no special power.
No.
So it's just you versus them. Put the ref in the middle.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is there any kind of pre-fight trash talk that you think goes too far? Is there a line people shouldn't cross?
Yeah, definitely. Colby Covington the other week, proper piece of shit move. What did he say? You'll say hello to your dad or son, to Leon. And he said, mentioned him. Colby's a piece of shit, lad.
Mm.
I don't like him. He's a wanker. But yeah, mentioning things like that.
So
mentioning people who are dead.
Their family and people who have passed
away. Nothing to do with the family, is it?
No.
You're fighting them. I don't mean to say something about them. Say what you want about me, I don't care.
No trash talk's ever got under your skin?
No. No. I could, lad. I've been called everything by my mates. I mean, I've been called well worse things by my mates than I will ever get called by anyone under pressure. So I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Have you got any beef with Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah, he's a lizard, isn't he?
Where'd you come up with these phrases? Sausage,
he just is
lizard.
A lizard. Mark Zuckerberg, man.
What's a...
Disabled, two different accounts of mine, man. You know what I mean? Like, some of them are pictures that I'll never get back, man. Pictures from years ago. Probably got them sitting there somewhere. The little nerd.
Would you fight him for 10 mil?
Yeah. Yeah, oh.
Did you see when him and Elon Musk were talking about
a fight? They've not got new, though, are they?
No.
You know what I mean? I need to go to a jiu-jitsu tournament, what Zuckerberg does, so I can just heckle him. You lizard. Stand at the side, calling him a lizard. Watch his head fall off and him get subbed. Big comedy gold, that, like.
What's your dream fight?
Someone in Anfield. What's my dream fight like?
Yeah.
Probably you'd have to say Conor though, because he's McGregor, because you get paid more than fighting anyone else by fighting him.
Yeah.
So you'd probably have to say him.
Do you think you could make Conor fight at Anfield?
Anything can happen, lad. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. How would you see you fighting Conor go?
Wouldn't want to give too much away. Nah, obviously he's a striker. Put him on his back and try and submit him.
I reckon a lot of people would want that fight.
They might do. We'll see in the future, you never know.
Do fights happen because a lot of people want the fight? Is that, it can work like that?
It can work like that, yeah.
But everyone wants Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, that's boxers, no.
Oh, okay. So it's different. Yeah. How's it different?
Because Dana and Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard make the fights in the UFC, where they haven't got to go through different like managers in boxing and sort it between different managers. We're all just under the same banner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you get sent to contact with a name on.
Yeah.
And you sign it and send it back.
Right. Would you fight anyone?
Yeah. I don't see the point in saying, oh, I won't fight him. I shouldn't fight any of my teammates.
Yeah. Who's the greatest fighter of all time?
MMA?
Yeah.
John Jones. Can't say anyone else, really, can you?
And greatest fighter of all time? Any fighter? Any discipline?
Probably have to say John Jones again. Mm. Lock him in a room with anyone of any discipline, he's going to kill them.
Do you think, because I saw Joe Rogan talking about
him and Tyson Fury. Yeah, of course. Tyson Fury's never grappled before.
Do you think Tyson Fury would beat him in a boxing match, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
Not in a...
Well, I mean, he'd barely beat Francis.
Not in a striking match, he wouldn't.
No.
So, like, in a kickboxing match or a Muay Thai fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, he'd get his legs obliterated immediately.
Yeah.
I know he didn't even beat Francis, lad, which is proper heavy to say. I thought that was just going to be a stupid fight. And then I thought Francis won. Thought it was six rounds. Well, was it 10 rounds that fight? 5 rounds each. And he had a knockdown, didn't he? So
yeah.
I thought Francis won.
So was that good for Tyson? I mean, he would have cleared a packet of money for that fight, wouldn't
he? Yeah.
But was it good for him?
No, but I personally don't think it was. It made him look a bit silly, didn't it?
And is that is therefore the risk of...
Yeah, that's the risk of doing them fights, yeah, exactly. That's the risk of doing them fights with someone from a different sport. Because even though like, he beat Ngannou, he hasn't got any credit for beating Ngannou because it was Ngannou's debut in professional boxing.
Why do you think that happened? Do you think he just didn't take it seriously?
I don't know. I haven't got a clue. That's the only explanation. Like, Tyson didn't train properly.
Yeah.
But you don't know. We're not in his team, so...
No. Can you share who you're fighting next?
I haven't got a fucking jar of glue. I don't know. I have no idea.
Do you know when it is?
No.
No.
My babe's pregnant, lad, so
Let
it have these kids and then we'll see what happens after that.
I've
got a few months of night feeds and that to do first and we'll see when I can fight. You know what I mean? It'll be the second half of the year. Like.
And how do you feel if you take longer distance between fights? Do you like that or not like that?
It'd be easier to make weight.
Yeah. And what would normally be your ideal time between fights?
So I like having 3 fights a year.
Yeah.
Right, so well, 4 months or something would be perfect. But as I say, it's one of them. 4th of December, I got on the last card of the year, so I got quite lucky.
Yeah.
And then now it's all about me wife and then... Once she has the kids and we're settled a little bit, then I'll think about getting a fight.
Yeah. Francis Ngannou, Anthony Joshua, what's your prediction for that?
I'm going to have to back Francis. I am, you know, if he had it that much of a close fight with Tyson Fury, if AJ's chin gets caught, he goes down, doesn't he? Back the MMA guy, back Francis Ngannou.
And Tyson Fury, Usyk, what's your prediction on that one?
Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just jab his head off at 12 rounds, it'd be too big for him.
Yeah. And do you think Fury and Anthony Joshua will happen?
If Joshua wins and Fury wins, then it's definitely going to happen, isn't it? Mm. But we'll see.
Mm. Do UFC fighters get paid fairly, in your opinion?
Yeah, if you get paid what you're worth. I know, yeah.
Why do a lot of people moan about UFC fighters don't get paid enough?
It's just your first contract. When you go in your first contract, it's like 10 and 10. So people say you should get more for that. But I fought on that contract, lad. Two fights on it, 10 and 10, 12 and 12. And then got me a new contract, got me pay rise, and started getting paid what I was worth.
Mm.
That's what you've got to do.
Mm.
Standard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's just the way it is in most jobs.
Yeah, work your way up.
Huh?
Yeah. What's the weirdest interaction with a fan you've ever had?
Probably had a good few weird ones that I can't hear. I've got the worst memory in the world, lad.
Maybe that's because you've been hit a load of times.
It could be. Could be because I've been punched in the head plenty of times. Remember years ago outside the O2 Arena before I was in the UFC when Molly fought years ago when she fought Priscilla Cachoeira, some fella outside asked me to slap him across the face. Videoed it. Yeah.
Did you lean into it a bit?
No, I pulled out of it a bit. I didn't want to knock him out with a slap. You know what I mean? I didn't do it as hard as I could, but he was still made up. I mean, it was mad. I had to video him saying, we videoed him saying, you want me to slap you, don't you? So we ain't getting no lawsuit coming through the post. I was like, you want me to slap you, don't you? He's like, yeah, I want you to slap me. I was like, sound, just step back and just went, it was a bit of a mad one, to be fair.
On the note of slapping, like, maybe I'm being a bit of a dad here, but fuck it, I'll just say it. But you know that slapping, fighting they do now? That looks to me fucking dangerous.
Yeah, it's mad.
Like, the most
dangerous. I wouldn't do it.
No.
I wouldn't do it, like, you know what I mean? I'm good for that.
But, how has that got sanctioned?
I don't know.
These guys are going to have brain damage in, like, three fights.
It is heavy, like, they just stood there getting slapped across the face. And some of them close their eyes in that as well, which is worse. The ones you don't see coming, whatever, you should always be looking. Like, some of them have their eyes closed. And it's mad. Yeah, I'd never do that sport, obviously. That's...
Wow, yeah.
Where you can't intelligently defend yourself, I'm out. You know what I mean? I'm good for that.
Yeah. Surely that's going to get banned in the future.
It doesn't look like it, lad. It looks like it's making money and there's...
Well, that's probably why it's not been banned.
It's getting views, so... It's one of them, isn't it?
Fuck yeah. What's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you in your whole life? Say that one. You've thought of something. Say
I was like, but I went missing in Croatia for like 48 hours.
Do you know why you went missing? Can you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
But I just went missing.
What happened?
I turned up. That's probably the maddest thing that's ever happened to me.
Can we get a timeline of the 48 hours?
I fell in a cactus and that. I fell in a cactus. My bird was picking cactus out of me for like 9 months. I'm not messing. It was just embedded into my skin. I swear. It's like something off a cartoon. I was running down a hill and I fell. And I was like, I went like that. I landed on a cactus. I swear. I thought of being bit by a snake because of the noise. I went like, psst. Like, what's this?
They have cactus in Croatia.
Yeah, this little island called Hvar. Oh, lad, I swear. Cactus, man. That's one of the most painful things ever. One of the most painful. It might be why getting punched in the head doesn't hurt that much anymore, lad.
Because you've experienced worse.
Because I've experienced worse, lad, falling on a cactus. Not messing, though, for about 9 months. Laura was, like I say, I'd lie down on the bed. She'd be picking bits of cactus out of me. That was just like embedded in my skin underneath a layer.
So for 48 hours you were pulling cactus at yourself. Were there other things involved?
There was other things involved, yeah. Well, that was a mad one, that, you know. Great though. Funny looking back.
Yeah.
Great memories. We had a few decent holidays when we were younger.
Yeah. Right. Do you drink less now you're a professional sportsman?
I don't really drink that much, to be honest. I'm not a big drinker. Well, if I'm going out on a night out with my mates or something, I'll have a few drinks, you know what I mean? Or with the missus, I'll have a few drinks. But 9 times out of 10, I'm not one of them, so just go to the pub and have a couple of pints.
No. Yeah. So you've always had it under control. It's not something you've had to battle with.
When I was younger, I used to like going out and going to festivals and that, you know what I mean? Not just going and having a drink. I used to like going to festivals and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, 4 in 10 children in Liverpool live in poverty. How do you feel about this and what can be done about it?
I've got an updated thing as well. Yeah. That's spicy, that, you know. Wow.
Because I understand.
4 in 10.
Yeah.
Is that even possible, lad, in a city this big?
Yeah. Do you think...
That's
scary,
lad.
Yeah. Like, how do you think this country's being run? Like, especially post... COVID. Because I will get cancelled off YouTube for saying that word, so...
I don't even like talking about politics, lad. To be honest. They're just all a gang of cunts. Every one of them.
But the thing... I sometimes think like that. I sometimes think... Focus on yourself and your own world.
Yeah.
Make a change that way. And I sometimes think, well, I'm not a fucking politician. But it is our country.
Yeah.
And there's no democracy because we don't get to vote.
No, there isn't, like.
And it's been fucking ruined. And if people don't start talking about it, nothing's going to change. That's how I feel as well.
Yeah. I just don't think you're ever going to change anything with them Tories, lad. Our city hates them anyway, as you know.
Well, I mean, they're probably going to be out,
but even they? Even now, lad, like, it's mad when you think about the Labour leaders are Sir. Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Sir Keir Starmer, he's a Sir. How can you be in charge of the Labour Party? We've got a knighthood.
Yeah.
just doesn't make sense, lad.
No.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. We need another election, don't we? We haven't had one for years.
And so... Am I right in reading into this? It pisses you off, but you don't really get into it. You just crack on with your own life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you're a powerful guy and you could maybe make a difference.
I try to, you know what I mean? That's one of the reasons the charity, the Baddie Foundation, we're trying to help feed kids in the city, you know what I mean? I'm trying to give back in that way.
Yeah. This show is called Disruptors, and we always do a Disruptors round. Just a few questions on that theme. So what's the biggest disruption that's ever happened in your life?
Probably losing fights. when you lose a fight, everything goes bananas. Well, saying that now, probably when I've split up with the missus for a bit. I'll probably go off the rails a little bit, and she keeps me on track.
Was the fighting and the intensity of the lifestyle part of what made you split up?
Yeah, probably. I was just a bit of a cunt when I was younger as well. So
Nothing, but I've trained a bit and I had my first fight and I trained for 6 months and my wife said, if you fucking do that again, I'm leaving you. And I had won 3 2-minute round fight in front of 1800 people for charity. And she said, she'll fucking leave me if I do that again. And yet your wife has to go through it fucking 3 times a year.
Yeah, she hates fight camp, like.
Yeah.
She hates it. She does. She hated the last one even more because she was pregnant, obviously.
Yeah. So what does she hate about fight camp? Like, what is it? What are fighters like in fight camp?
Very snappy. I mean, normally very laid back, but when you can't eat nothing and all you can drink is water, and like you're restricted to what you can eat, you do bite people's heads off, lad. You don't mean to. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's funny, some of the lads put it, I'll put something in the group chat and the lads will put something back and then I'll say something while the lads will put, oh, if you are not at this morning pad now, and they just know. People know when I'm in fight camp because I just bite people's heads off. I'm snappy. And obviously Laura probably gets the buns of it most of the time because I'm with her more than anyone.
Yeah. Is there a worse part of those 8 weeks? Is it always like, at this point, fuck my life?
The start of the diet's never easy, starting the actual diet, but then it's always like 3 or 4 weeks out when you're doing like 15 sessions a week and your body's just falling apart, but you've got to like stick to X amount of calories. That's probably when it's at its hardest. Like people say the weight cut, but I don't really mind the weight cut. Don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
I know when I get there on the Monday that I'm starting my weight cut. You know what I mean? And I've just got to not eat much that week and then doing me weight cuts, getting baps and that.
Have you ever had a fight, Cam, that you felt gone not that well and maybe dented your confidence for the fight?
Yeah, I've had several fight camps like that. Not every fight camp goes great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of fight camps. Normally, when I have a bad fight camp, I have a better fight.
Why is that?
I don't know. Doesn't make sense.
No. Is it maybe because you do you ever overtrain?
In the past, yeah. But now we look at everything from a scientific point of view, and like Paul Reed, who's my S&C coach and my nutritionist, I have like a fitness band. I mean, he can check me sleep, check all my training. Yeah. He goes over everything for me. And he just lets me know, yeah, you need the rest of the day. Don't be doing anything else tonight. Chill.
Yeah.
And we look at it from that point of view now, where obviously 10 years ago, it was just keep training until your arms fell off.
Yeah. What's the biggest risk you've ever taken in your whole life?
Not signing for the UFC.
Oh, you had a chance to?
Yeah.
And you turned it down. How come?
Just did. They offered me when I was 21, and then again when I was 23. And I said no both times because I just didn't feel like I was ready. I was still a kid. I mean, I hadn't matured yet. I've only just become a man about 2 years ago now. You know what I mean? So I'm made up. Thinking about it now, it was one of the best decisions I ever made, but it's probably the hardest decision at the time.
Yeah. What's the most brutal life lesson you've ever had?
Probably never go into a fight injured, because I fought someone and I had a choke on in the first round and I couldn't finish it because my arm was still injured. And then he took me down for 4 rounds and punched me in the face. So that was probably the hardest lesson I ever had to learn. Never going to a fight injured, because I did, and I literally got it took away from me when it was there.
Yeah. What's the most disruptive thing anyone's ever said or done to you?
Being called all sorts, lad.
Anything ever really got under your skin?
I used it when people sing old stuff at the match.
When they do what, sorry?
Sing Hillsborough songs at the match. You know what I mean? That one really does get under my skin.
You go a lot to the game?
Yeah, I'd love to punch someone in the face if they sang that in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Weirdos.
Yeah. Right, we also have a quick fire round.
Let's do this.
Yeah, let's do this. Would you take 1 million cash or 1 million engaged social media followers? Which one and why?
Cash. Obviously.
You're looking at me like that's a shit question.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously I'm taking 1 million cash.
Why obviously?
Because anyone who takes the 1 million in engagement on social media is a fucking helmet. That's why. It's a fucking idiot and they're about 12.
What's a bar 12?
They're about 12.
Oh, about 12. Yeah. Right. But you could monetize 1 million followers.
What, they got more than 1 million followers?
Yeah. You could do a brand
I haven't
deal.
Got £1 million cash. Someone wants to give me £1 million cash. You know what I mean? I'm here. Anytime. Come round to ours.
All right. Does money make you happy?
No.
Why not?
I'd be the richest man in the world. I'd be the loneliest person ever. You know what I mean? I don't think money makes you happy at all.
But couldn't...
Obviously, you can buy... short spurt of happiness with money, but not long-term happiness, no.
But if you're always broke and struggling for money, is that not the opposite of happiness as well?
No, depends who you've got around you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Definitely. Money comes and goes. Family and that don't.
Yeah. What's your biggest payday?
What is my biggest payday?
Yeah, most you've been paid in one deal or one fight.
Don't know, we'd have to ask my manager.
What's his biggest payday?
Yeah, probably the Barstool deal. Yeah, when I got that.
Yeah. How much? Seven figures.
£1 million it was over 2 years.
Oh, wow. And did you enjoy doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. Fully enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of people talk down sponsors. I remember I interviewed Jackie Stewart, you know, the famous...
Jockey? Oh, the Formula One.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, I've had Rolex as a sponsor for 35 years and I love them. And I just thought it was nice that instead of just taking sponsors' money and fuck off talking shit, you actually have a good relationship with the sponsor. That's how it should be, shouldn't it?
It is. You know, it should be like that with your sponsor. I've still, like, I'm still not sponsored by them, but we've still got a good relationship now. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it should be.
Yeah. What's the best advice you ever received or that you can remember?
I definitely had something for this. Someone said something to me. Oh, I can't think. Might have to come back to that. That's the top of my head. I'm trying to think of something. Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Okay. What's the worst advice you ever received?
I get it every day on the internet.
Could we call that advice?
Yeah.
They all try and give you like...
Yeah, people, supporters try and give you advice.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have done this when you were fighting Tony Ferguson. It's like, what? Come on, lad. You're a 36-year-old electrician from Milton Keynes. Turn it in. But, you know, you get on with it.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. That's just an everyday thing. People try and give you advice and say stuff to you.
Mm. Mm. What's your biggest regret?
Doing that fight when I was injured.
Yeah.
Got a loss on my record. I got paid, like, I got my money for it, which is good in the long run, but yeah, probably wouldn't have done that fight, wouldn't go into a fight injured. Because I lost because of that and would have won.
Do you think it's good though? I mean, I know, I'm sure every fighter doesn't want a loss on their record, but
yeah, it made, obviously everything happens for a reason. Yeah. It made me the man I am today. I mean, I wouldn't, because that was the fight where I lost and then I went into a deep depression, you know what I mean? And I did contemplate all sorts of different things. So without that fight, I would never have had them hardships.
And was it because of the loss? Or was it?
Yeah, it all started from that, yeah.
Yeah. And why do you think you spiraled down?
Because I had an injury before it, and I got surgery on the 10th of May on my hand, and I fought on the 1st of September. So my hand weren't really recovered. So I didn't want to pull out of the show. The show was relying on me. It was in the Echo Arena. Felt like all the lads wouldn't be able to fight. If I pulled out, he'd just cancel the show. So I've just done the fight anyway, even though my hand was still fucked. So I fought less than 4 months before, after I'd had it done. And obviously I was still wearing a splint when I was training and that. So I went into the fight. I had him in a rear naked choke in the first round for about 3 minutes. And if my other arm was underneath, he would have went asleep. But because it was that arm and it had no strength in it, I couldn't finish it. And then I broke my hand again in the second round. And then he dominated 3, 4, and 5, and he beat me on decision. And just because of like the way it happened, I was that close from winning. You know what I mean? That close. And then that's what happens in this sport. I'd get stuck away from you. And obviously I broke my hand again. I couldn't fight. I had to. So the one was that was September. Obviously getting called all kinds on the internet and everything, and then I had to wait until like the next October because I had to get surgery again in like the March or something, or in the January. I can't even remember. I got surgery again though, because I've had 2 surgeries on this hand. I come back the next October or November, like 14 months later, and my opponent missed weight by £10.
So which you can lose in a day.
Which I didn't, so I didn't end up fighting.
Yeah.
And I didn't end up fighting until March with no crowd. I fought the weekend that the COVID restrictions got brought in.
What was your lowest point, your lowest moment?
Every morning. Every morning I'd wake up after that, you know what I mean? And even like the original, the week after the fight, obviously all you're still thinking about is the fight. But then even after that, weeks later, when my missus was getting up and going to work, and I'd just roll over at like 8 in the morning, I'd just start crying my eyes out. Just be like, what? You're finished? Like, saying stuff like that, you know, all that going through your head.
Mm. And can you remember a moment where you turned it round? Was there a...
So I had to speak to someone, you know what I mean? Obviously, I spoke to... I never spoke to anyone about it, I just got on with it, you know what I mean? I didn't want to mention it to anyone, then I finally mentioned it to one of my mates, and he said, you know, Chris said, get it off your chest, lad, promise you it'll help. Told him about it, told someone else about it, next morning woke up and I did, I felt better. You know what I mean? So from that moment on, I tried to say that so that more people would go out and get it off the chest. You know what I mean? Because I had to get told to do it.
Yeah. Well, I've got something here that you said, and it really went viral. And there's a stigma in this world that men can't talk. Listen, if you're a man and you've got a weight on your shoulders and you think the only way you can solve it is by killing yourself, please speak to someone, speak to anyone. People would rather you cry on their shoulder than go to your funeral.
Yeah, stand by it.
That's pretty fucking beautiful, those words are.
Stand by it, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? It goes without saying. There's still people killing themselves now, but I think, I hope what I said helped people speak to people, you know what I mean? Mm. I've been to charity dues and other nights and stuff like that since, and I've had several people come up to me and say, oh, what you said saved my life, and then just one person coming up to me saying that makes it worthwhile. Mm. You know what I mean? Never mind several.
Yeah. And do you think it's particularly, with mental health issues, it's sort of particular in men? Do you think we're pretty shit at talking about it?
Yeah, it's just because we're like, oh, I just don't want to bother him with that. You know what I mean? He's probably got his own stuff going on. But then at the same time, like, if I start speaking to you about it, then you start getting it off your chest and talking to me about it. That's the good thing about it. You know what I mean? Women do it anyway. Sit and have a cup of tea and jangle and talk shit for hours. Do that, don't they? Yeah. Don't shut up.
No comment.
Just sit there and give a cup of tea and talk shit for hours, lad. Just talk shit about her husband for hours and hours. We'd just go to our meeting and start talking about footy. You know what I mean? Where hopefully men now will speak a little bit more and mention, oh, this done me head in the other day. You know what I mean? And people will start talking about it. Mm. That's just what I hope, anyway. And people always say to me, oh, you're doing amazing, saying stuff like that, lad. That's just what anyone in my position should be talking about.
Yeah.
Anyone should be saying that. I mean, it's still the biggest killer of men over the age of, what, 22 or something, one or something like that. Wow. Suicide between the age of 21 and 45, still the biggest killer.
Fuck. Is that, like, forever, or is that a more recent thing that's happened?
No, that's more recent, that, like, over the past couple of years. I remember someone telling me that.
Right. Why do you think that is?
Obviously, as you mentioned before, poverty plays a big part in it. 4 in 10 children in Liverpool are growing up in poverty. Obviously, they're going to have mental health struggles growing up. That's just going to keep spiraling, you know what I mean? And then there's other ways it can happen. Like, I know people who are like, it's obviously the sports people who, the career doesn't hit off the way they think it will. And then they end up spiraling that way. Mm. There's people who end up losing their job, losing where they live, you know what I mean? Send up on the street. There's all sorts of things like that.
Mm. And if you had like a tip or a mental health thing to say that would just help people, what would you say?
Get it off your chest.
Just talk to someone.
Talk to someone, anyone.
Doesn't have to be a therapist.
Doesn't have to be a therapist. No. Come have a laugh with your mates and talk to them about it.
And what if you really don't feel like it?
Then speak to a therapist. Yeah. Before. Speaking to someone's better than jumping up onto the train or finding yourself or taking all those pills.
Yeah, so did you reach out to a friend or did they notice something was up with you and they said, are you all right? How did?
I can't even remember, to be honest. I was sitting with Chris just chilling, watching something, and we just started talking about it. I don't know if he mentioned it to me or I mentioned it to him. But like, obviously you feel weak mentioning it to your wife or your other half.
Right.
You don't want to mention it to them, so obviously you mentioned it to a friend first. That's what I felt like doing anyway.
And do you find yourself now just checking in with your mates that they're okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes that's all it takes,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Literally, that's all it is. Yeah. That's all it takes. We have a group chat most of the time until someone gets lettered in and they leave. And then you've got to start getting on people outside of the chat.
Yeah. What would you like your legacy to be? How would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to just be remembered as a nice person. First and foremost, he was sounding.
Mm.
If that gets said about me, I'm happy.
Mm.
He was sounding, weren't he? Don't want nothing major, just that. He was sounding.
Mm.
As long as people don't think I was a cunt, I'm happy.
Yeah. And then what about your fighting legacy?
As I say earlier, I want to bring the UFC to Anfield. That's my goal. I'd probably rather bring the UFC to Anfield than win a UFC title.
Right. Have you ever talked to Dana about that?
Nah. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in the future. I wouldn't want to be the fourth English person to win a UFC title. You know what I mean? I'd rather be the first person to win the UFC to Anfield.
Yeah. UFC, where do you think it's at right now in its journey? Obviously, it was underground. It blew the fuck up. Where do you think it is now?
It's mainstream now, like, isn't it? Can't get much more mainstream.
But, so, do you think it's not getting affected by, you know, lots of breakaway competitive?
No, not really. No. UFC is still the number one promotion, or always will be. Mm. Like, you don't really, you're not really seeing fighters leaving UFC to go to these other promotions unless they're old.
This has been epic. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Slime.
Thank you very much. Thanks so much.